It is good being with you again. I welcome you with all my heart. I love every one of you, just the way you are. There is only one way in which to transcend your problems and to find unalloyed happiness and peace. Who can tell me what that is?
Stop thinking.
To destroy the mind.
To destroy the mind, to stop thinking.
Drop it.
Drop it. That's all good. But what do you have to become?
Nothing. You already are.
Nothing.
Henry's on the right track.
Consciousness. You're already conscious.
Pure consciousness.
You have to return to what you are before you were born. What were you before you were born? Nothing. No thing. If you can return to that while embodied, that's called self-realization. If you don't have to wait to die or to drop your body, but you can actually return to that while you are in a so-called body, then you will be in a completely different dimension, so to speak. You will see man's inhumanity to man, wars, yet to you there will be peace. You will see wholeness. Where there is a diseased body, you will see complete health, total harmony. Where there appears to be lack or limitation, you will see riches beyond your wildest dreams. We have gone beyond the so-called relative world into the source of your existence. Yet you don't really have to do anything or go anywhere. You are already there, just the way you are right now. It is your thinking that makes you think otherwise. It is your brainwashing that you've had since you were a little kid. It makes you think something is wrong someplace, something isn't right, or that you have to do something to become self-realized. It means you have to let go of attachment to person, place, or thing, mentally. When you try to be a so-called do-gooder, what you're really saying is there's something wrong, aren't you? Otherwise, why would you try to do good? When you try to heal someone, you must believe the person is sick. You wouldn't try to heal them. when you actually help the homeless or do altruistic things in your life, you are making believe in the play of Maya that there is suffering and poverty and things in this world that exist, and you are trying to stop this. Can't you see what I'm trying to say? The world has been like this since it came into being as a dream, which it really never did. But in this Maya, in this dream, there are people who do good and people who do bad. It's all part of the duality concept. There are people who maim, kill, rob, and the people who give love and help. They are both imposters. Yeah, I'm not saying to ignore the situation. When you ignore the situation, you're also making a mistake because you believe in the situation. If you believe in the situation, you can't ignore it. Don't you see? As long as you believe something is wrong, you've got to make it good. In other words, if you see a person starving in the street who asks you for a piece of bread, you must give him the bread because you see him starving in the street. There will come a time when you will not see the person starving in the street, and just by you being near this person, this person will appease his hunger without any material bread. Everything in this world is Maya. It's a trick to keep you hopping, to keep you going along, to keep you doing something. Remember, the opposite of bad is good. The opposite of wrong is right. We do not want to change opposites. We want to transcend opposites. What is nothing, where nothing exists, where nothing exists, there is total freedom. I'm not speaking of total freedom for you alone when I say this. The total freedom I'm speaking of is all-pervading. If you become total freedom, the total freedom that you become is omnipresence. Therefore, wherever you look, there is total freedom. We're not referring to a selfish personal life where a person wants to overcome their difficulties and overcome their problems and yet the rest of the world still has them. When you really transcend the world, you have transcendence for everyone. Everyone in the world. Every sentient and insentient thing. Tom, how'd you get over that time? Over there. Transportation. The world as it appears is neither good nor bad, right or wrong. Try to understand when you get involved as a do-gooder, it appears as if you are helping. But does poverty cease? Will it ever cease to be? Has man's and humanity's and man ceased? will never cease? Are all the dastardly conditions in the world stopping at all? Or do they appear to be getting worse? What has happened to all the do-gooders that have worked for freedom and peace and happiness and joy in this world? They pass away, and no one ever hears from them again. And the world goes on with its foolishness, with its nonsense. This is a hard thing to say to the average person in the street. But they can never comprehend this. Most of you here know what I'm talking about. The world is Maya, an illusion. When you get caught up in the illusion, you play your part. And you get so involved in your part, you believe this is what you're doing, that you're being of service, you're being a help. And all your friends encourage you. They tell you how kind you are, the good that you're doing to this world. There will always be people like that. Of course, you can say, if everybody stopped doing good, the world will go to hell. The world's already in hell. Doesn't have to go anywhere. The game is, we each have a part of this Maya, of this hell, this illusion. And we think we're doing good. We think the things we do are wonderful. We help humanity. We enjoy our lives, so to speak. We do happy things. Do try to understand this is all part of duality, all part of the game. Karmically, you come into this world as either a good guy or a bad guy. You have no choice. This is all duality. So you've got to play a role. As you work in the illusion, and you come back again and again and again, always playing a different part, so it appears. One time you come back as a good guy, the next time you come back as a bad guy. Like cowboys and Indians. One time you're the Indian, the next time you're the cowboy. It never ends. There's no end to it. I've spoken to many people who have worked for peace in this world, who have worked with the homeless, who want to feed the poor all over the world. This is very commendable. This is very good. But they all told me the same thing. They become disillusioned. But when you feed 100, 200 appear at your door again. When you feed 200, 400 appear at your door. It never ends. Of course, you're saying that unless I fed the 100, that came to me. I took care of those who came to me. This is true also. For as long as you are in that position, where again you believe there are homeless people suffering, and there's injustice and cruelty in this world, then you have to do your part to help overcome it. But as you work on yourself, and you overcome the Maya, the illusion. You don't become a person that does nothing. Well, you're not a person any longer. The personality has been transcended, transmuted. You have become the nothingness in which the world is a superimposition. You have become the screen instead of the players on the screen. As the screen, there's absolutely nothing for you to do but observe and watch the players in action. Yet when I say there's absolutely nothing for you to do, it's paradoxical because you still will do something. Realizing that you are not the doer. When I say that you realize you are not the doer, you will not think of it in that way. When you are not the doer, you will be no one to think I am not the doer. You will not be an entity who is not the doer. For if you say to yourself, I am not the doer, then you are the doer. Trying to say I'm not the doer. When you're not the doer, there's nobody left. So you can't say that, you can't voice that. When you are absolute freedom, you are like a leaf on a tree. The leaf on the tree rocks with nature, breathes out the storms. Sometimes it dies. But the essence of the leaf never dies. The essence is the same essence of you. Pure beingness. You are pure beingness. Try to understand this. It will save your life. As long as you feel you have to do something in this world, then by all means do something. As long as you feel you have to do nothing in this world, by all means do nothing. Yet the something and the nothing are two sides of the same coin. For there's somebody who has to do nothing and there's somebody who has to do something. You cannot say I am nothing. For again, if you say I am nothing, it means that you are something. This is why silence is reality. Can you see this now? This is the reason silence is enlightenment. As soon as you open your mouth, you swallow. As soon as you think about anything, you swallow. Everything you say is duality. can't say one word that has absolutely nothing to do with reality, with duality. There's not one word, one utterance you can make that has absolutely nothing to do with duality. Can you think of a word that has nothing to do with duality? You can say the word God. The reason you're saying the word God is because you believe there was no God there. So you're calling upon God. If God was always there, why do you have to say God at all? So to whom are you calling upon? All concepts have to be transcended. Everything you believe, everything you've been taught, everything that makes any sense has to go down the drain. You must become senseless. Not say it or speak of it, but become it. Without words. This is the only way to be free. Even when I speak of freedom, it's the same thing. The reason we speak of freedom is because we think we're bound. Therefore, we speak of freedom. What can you speak about? Nothing. This is why when most of you see me in my personal life, as it appears to you, I hardly ever talk. What can I say? It's not that I don't want to talk. There's nothing to say. It's all nonsense. I'll ask you, for instance, how do you feel? I say, oh, I feel terrible, I got a pain in my head. So I say, take an aspirin. And you'll say, I did, it doesn't help. I'll say, squeeze your head with both hands. So you squeeze your head with both hands. This may make it better, this may make it worse. What difference does it make? You're looking for answers. You're looking for perfection. You're looking for something to be, to become. And there's absolutely nothing to be or become. Who do you think you are? You tell me I'm a man, I'm a woman. That's your gender. That's not who you are. That's the, you've been told you are that when you were born. You're either a man or a woman. But what were you before you were born? You were the reality. Again, it's words. Well, if you were the reality, that's been unreality. But it can be a reality. True? Think about this. If you say I'm reality, it's only in comparison. There has to be an unreality somewhere for you to be a reality. Yet most of us always want to be something. We're not satisfied just being. We want to be something. And of course what we want to be is better than we are. We don't like what we are. If we're fat, we want to be thin. If we're thin, we want to be fat. If we're tall, we want to be short. If we're short, we want to be tall. If we think we're dumb, we want to be smart. If we're smart, we think we're too smart. It never ends, it goes on. It goes on forever. So how do you get out of all this? First, you've got to be tired of the whole game. You've got to be sick and tired of the whole game of good and bad, up and down, happy and sad, rich or poor, sick or healthy. You've got to be tired of everything, of the whole game, the whole universe, the whole world. Then when you're tired of it, really tired of it, you keep still. You stop talking so much, trying to prove points. Trying to win debates. Trying to explain to somebody what truth is, or what it isn't. You learn to keep still. But you do not become a cold fish. You have manners. You're loving, you're kind. Not because you want to be, this is your nature. When you feel your real self, you do not feel that you're better than other people. But if you're good and somebody else is bad, but if you know something somebody else doesn't, this is the worst form of egotism. The more realized you become, the more you think you know nothing. There's nothing for you to know anymore. But when you realize the world is false, and the world is only an idea in consciousness, what can you possibly do in this world? What can you say in this world? What can you possibly do to help anyone? Is by just being, people appear to be helped when they're around you. Things change. Yet most of you in this room today are still trying to change bad for good. You want to improve your condition, you want to have all kinds of fun and all kinds of joy in the world. And you go after it and you have it. It appears if you have it. Again, this is a trick of Maya. It's to fool you, to delude you this way, to show you're having fun, you're enjoying life. But remember, the pendulum has to swing in the other direction. And pretty soon you're miserable, crying, you feel isolated, unwanted, unloved. So you go looking for love in all the wrong places. And you find it.
That's you.
And you play the game again. You've never been so happy in your life. The pendulum has to swing again, back to the other side, after so much time. You become obsessed, morbid, disgusted. And your life goes on like this. It is then that most people start searching for answers. This is why it is not really a blessing to have good karma, so to speak. When you have a good karma, you don't care about spiritual life. You believe I've got good karma, but I need spiritual life. That's for people who are suffering. Many people believe this, you know. They tell me, I'm living good. I've got plenty of money in the bank. I've got a home. I've got a car. I've got a wife. I've got children. I've got everything I want in life. But I need spiritual life. That's for people who are suffering. How deluded can you get? Boy, this will all pass. Even if it goes on throughout the life, remember, change in the relativity unit of world, the universe of relativity. Change takes all forms and goes through time periods. By this, what I mean by this is your life right now is but a split second in eternity. That's what your life is. It appears to you as you live 4 score and 10, or whatever score you want to live. And you've had a good life for all the 4 score and 10. You have not searched for spiritual life. You were in the dream, you've not come out of it, you're deeply involved in the dream. You think you're involved in Maya. And if you know nothing about spiritual life, you're only aware of your goodness, your material goodness, that is upon you, that's all you know. You have to experience the opposite. Therefore, you may come back in another life, and you'll come back to where you left off, rich, in a good family, and then it will die down. It will begin to subside. Little by little, it will begin to experience the other side of it. You've got to. So what may happen, you may be born in a time where there's a recession, inflation, you lose all of your money, your husband or your wife commit suicide, you have to go on welfare. This happens little by little, in slow motion, so you can't see it. When you're looking at lifetimes, what you're here today and gone tomorrow. And you believe if I've got good things in my life now, if I feel healthy and strong, that's what I want. It'll make me happy. This is why you are told in the highest spiritual teachings to forget all this. And not think about being healthy, happy, and wise. Like I told you were when you were a kid. Look at the world in which we live, especially the capitalistic societies. The whole idea of living in a capitalistic society is to become rich. That doesn't mean the other society is any better. It's better living in a communistic society. Of course, in a communistic society, you can't own anything. You're both Maya. You're both a joke. The point that you have to realize again is as long as you believe in the world, as long as you believe in the universe as a fact, as an entity, you're going to have to come back again and again and experience everything over and over again. I was listening to an old Alan Watts tape, made in 1951. And Alan Watts is saying on the tape, I'm sitting in Henry's house, and the birds are screeching, I can hardly hear myself talk. On the tape. Same person as saying now. The same thing is happening now. It happened before. Alan Watts was here in 1954, and I'm here now. What has changed? And when we're all gone, it will continue. Big deal. In the year 2110, there'll be people at a meeting like this. Talking about the same thing, same nonsense.
Henry will be sitting there. Give up. It's hopeless.
There'll be somebody will be saying, in 1992 there was Robert sitting here, listening to the birds, and Henry then he's sitting there with a long beard. When am I going to leave my body?
With the dog.
Carl will be teaching. It's too much.
And here we are. Where are we? So get rid of yourself and be happy. Now let's see if for once we can stop the girl. Where is the mind on the deep sleep state? What mind? There never was a mind. When you're in deep sleep, you're referring to the mind that you think you've got. That mind that doesn't exist goes back into the self. When you go into deep sleep, the thoughts, the mind, what we call a mind, is simply a compilation of thoughts. Thoughts about the past, thoughts about the future. That's all the mind is. But when you're in deep sleep, there's no one to think. You can't think, because the thoughts have gone back where they belong, into nothingness. They become absolute nothing. No thoughts, no mind. So when we explain it to people who think there's a mind, there's a self, there's a this, there's a that, we say that the self or God is located on the right side of the chest. That's where the spiritual heart is. When you're in deep sleep, the mind that has been active returns to the spiritual heart. When once again merges with the self, which is the spiritual heart, until you awaken. When you awaken instantaneously, what you call the mind or thoughts rush into the brain, and you become immediately cognizant of I am the body, I am the mind, and you become cognizant of the universe and the people and others and everything going around you. It all happens instantaneously, very fast. But if you think about this before you go to sleep, and you feel that the mind is going into the heart as you fall asleep, when you wake up, the thought will continue that you fell asleep with. And you'll be able to feel to an extent the mind coming out of the heart and going back into the brain where the light becomes evident. But do not become too technical about these things. Do not become exact or too intellectual about this. There is no mind, there is no heart, there is no body, there is no sleep, there is no time, there is no space. There is nothing. There is only Henry.
Sweet.
That's the only question, the mind question. What was the question?
Yeah. Robert, how does the consciousness after it dies, how does it actually get reincarnated? I mean, how does it just...
What consciousness dies?
Well, the consciousness plus the tendency that the person left the body with. And the tendencies that I've heard is what causes it, the patterning is what causes it to be propelled and impelled to take another birth. But what is that mechanism? How does it work? I mean, it has to happen through the reproductive fluid. How does that pattern get into the reproductive fluid? I mean, how is it transmitted? I mean, from you supposedly pick your father or something like that. How does it work?
In order for it to work, you've got to work. As long as you exist in a question like that, the mind is active that way. Then all these things come to pass. But in truth, it doesn't work. Because it never existed.
Well, let's talk about falsehood for a little while.
Falsehood is you...
How does it get into the body of the person that reproduces that baby.
Consciousness, you mean?
Yeah.
Consciousness is always there.
Like when after I died, what happened to my consciousness plus the mind, the patterning? How did that pick that particular man as a father? How did it get into that reproductive fluid? How did that work?
This is all determined by what you are, what you've been, your samskaras, your latent tendencies, what you were in the previous life, in different lifetimes, in this life, everything that you've been through.
Is it like an all-pervading pattern that just finds the person, or that consciousness that's unmanifest? Is it an all-pervading pattern that gravitates to a particular man, or how does that work?
Imagine you're a drug dealer and you get shot by the police.
Okay.
Then the pattern, what you call the pattern,
yeah,
leaves the body, takes a rest, and go find another suitable body which you can finish its existence the way it was before. And the game continues.
How does it do that? How does it go find another suitable body? Out of the billions of human beings, how does it find that man, that father?
It's like a needle in the haystack. It finds where it has to find. It finds itself where it's been. It is a drug dealer, so it's been totally motivated by drugs.
Be propelled to a particular individual?
It's like saying, how do I wake up in the morning? It's the same thing. These things just happen. They go through all kinds of experiences.
Nobody knows these things.
There's nothing to know.
Nobody actually knows the mechanism whereby this mind and consciousness actually become the reproductive fluid of this person.
You're looking for a mechanism. There's no mechanism.
Yeah, and yet we're all here. It had something happened. Something moved it into a particular body.
Part of the maya, part of the delusion. It appears this way, but it never happened like this. It doesn't exist this way. It's only an appearance. You're talking of the seminal fluid.
Yeah.
It doesn't pick anything. It just continues. It's a continuation of what you are. And this causes you to pick the right person, the right parents. This is all karmic. There's nothing deep and profound about this. It's just you continue from where you left off.
But out of this spatial universe where there's time and space, I mean, does that, when you die, does that become an all-pervading kind of a pattern that's all over, and that only it's like printed on a particular vibration that's compatible? You know, I'm looking at the, trying to...
You're at the Akashic Records. The Akashic Records are the records of every human being, every movement they've made, everything they've done is part of the Akashic Records. They're so intricate, it would take a billion accountants to be able to understand one iota of how this works. But everything is accountable in the universe. You're accountable for everything you do, every movement you make. So say you lift your finger. It's written down in the Akashic Records. You stick your finger in the water. It's written down in the Akashic Records. You kill somebody, it's in the Akashic Records. Everything you do is in the Akashic Records.
What Akashic records?
He wants to know about Akashic Records.
No, I don't want to know about Akashic Records.
This is pure mythology.
Of course, that's what he's talking about.
No, I'm not. I'm not talking about mythology.
What are you talking about, reality?
Yeah, he thinks
I'm
it's real.
Relative,
he thinks the myth is
I'm
real.
I'm talking about relative reality. Which is really maybe not real, but yet here we are.
That's what I'm telling you. Relative reality is the Akashic Records. Everything's recorded in the big book. So what happens is every time you make a movement, it's recorded. Therefore, when you leave the body, that goes in the seminal fluid. And then the same thing appears again.
How? How does it get when it leaves the body? Is it just a certain? Is it a space? Is it a pattern? Is it all pervading? Is it consciousness all over everything? And yet it's still a particular pattern. How does it get?
It moves through time and space.
It's a particular.
It's a cell, isn't it?
It's like one atom in time and space, and it moves through time and space and finds the right person to be the father.
You can say that if you want.
I'm just trying to know.
So where does it get you?
Nobody has ever explained that.
Because there's nothing to explain, really. What is it to explain? It doesn't exist. It's like a fairy tale.
Yeah, and yet every day, it doesn't exist, and yet every day we have to suffer and work so hard. You know, you say it doesn't exist, but yet the life right now is a disaster. You know, it's like a torture. So it's more real than all the reality that we're talking about, all this reality. But all this reality, it's not manifest. It might be reality, but it's not manifest. Our everyday life is very, very, very difficult.
But you're saying ours. Speak for yourself.
Well, mine then. Yeah.
Your life is like this, and you're seeing it this way, and you're trying to get out of it. But there's nothing that really happened to put you in it. The understanding is that you never were in it to begin with. And that goes someplace far away from you because, as you say, you're experiencing it and it hurts you.
Yeah.
And you want to know why it was happened this way, why it hurts you. So you think about karma and you realize this is what you're doing as a result of what you've done before. Everything is a result of something else. Therefore, the right molecules, the right atoms come into play. Everything in the relative world that builds the relative world comes into play, and it happens through the atoms, through the molecules, through the cells. And then the body is put together through these atoms that you need at this moment to experience your experiences, and there you are.
It's strange that the reality we don't realize or experience directly, and the unreality we experience and realize directly. Very strange.
But you're not really experiencing the unreality. You're so bogged down in the unreality that it appears very real to you. Think of it this way. When you're looking at a movie, you get excited about the movie. And it appears so real to you because you've gotten involved in the movie and the plot and what's going on, and you're passionate about it and you're really feeling the movie. There are many people like this. You're crying when it's time to cry, laughing when it's time to laugh. But where does the movie come from? Light. Camera. There's only the screen. And the light creates a reflection of the image, the images, it produces images, the reflection of the light. Produces images on the screen and everything looks so real to you. So would you ask the people in the movie the same question? Would you ask the people in the movie, on the screen, how did you get like this? What made you this way? What made you be a murderer? What made you be a saint? There's no answer because it's a reflection of light. Only the screen exists. So it is with us. We are a reflection of light on the screen of life. And we appear to be on all three of these things, but we're not. So it's the wrong identification. You have to give up the identification with the things that hurt you. And you have to see it in a different light. In a new experience, you have to see the whole thing differently than what you see it now. And when you see it differently, things will change. But as long as you keep holding on to the hurts and the badness of your position, it only increases the delusion.
And yet you're still controlled by it. Even if you wake up, even if you have realization, you're still controlled by it, by this system and this con game and all this.
You're telling
me. Because you still have to get up and you still have to go to work and, you know, You're under control. You're always controlled. Even the yoni is controlled, you know?
On the contrary.
Well, it seems to me.
This is how you see the picture. This is what you're saying.
Same with Ramana. If he didn't get food, he would have died. As a body, but that's not who he really is, of course. But still, as a manifest, as in manifestation, he's controlled by whatever the powers that are in controlling manifestation. His manifestation isn't controlled by that, not him as reality.
It doesn't work like that. We as individuals see our own world, and we see what we are. So we're seeing this as an experience. But there's no such experience. And yoni does not go through what you think it goes through. Ramana didn't go through any suffering when he died. He would not die if he didn't need. But the appearance would be that he would.
But the body appeared to be in pain. There was moaning.
You're seeing this. That's the way you look at it. That's the way you see it. That's the way it appears to you. Or something like that.
But why would he moan if he wasn't in pain?
You're seeing the moaning.
He didn't really moan, even though everybody saw him moaning.
He said himself, I am not what you think I am. Ramakrishna also said no one dies when he was dying and appeared to be in pain. He went through all these things. You're speaking in relative terms only. And relative terms do not exist. It's like the mirage in the water in the mirage. We think we see it, and it doesn't exist, it's not there. Everything is like hypnosis, like we've been hypnotized. Believing we're in pain, we're going through suffering, we're going through things. This is what Maya is called, Maya. That's what it's all about. And then you want to know technically how it works. Maya is Maya. It's like a dream. You don't explain to people in a dream how it works, why this person tripped and broke his leg. It's all in Maya. Then the people looking at Maya are so engrossed in it that it hurts them. It's very real for them. Drop it. Don't get involved in lost technicalities. Or they pull you deeper into it. No matter what the answer is you're looking for, the answer itself is an illusion. Whatever the answer may be. When you call it karma, maya, seminal fluid, what would you like to call it? It's all part of the grand illusion. The important point is, the more technical you get about it, the more you pull into it.
How she said words of the great grandson of truth.
Words of the great grandson of truth. Well, shoot the great grandson.
Try to do it on him. I told that to a friend of mine. He said, "Yeah, words are the great stones beneath which the truth is buried." But that's
words are the great stones beneath which the truth is buried. Okay.
Try to do that.
This is why I talk about the principle of when you get into this teaching first, You have to practice divine ignorance. When you say you don't know what anything is, everything appears as if it's real. All these things appear real. Do we have any announcements?
No, Robert, we don't.
We have no announcements.
No announcements at all. No.
We're having a Dandara on the 26th.
Oh, yes.
Put that on your calendar. Will you bring your favorite food? We'll have music, dancing. To come that day. It starts at 1 o'clock.
Starts earlier?
1 o'clock.
Come
when it comes down the line. Come down.
Check with Henry.
We have some delicious looking crossbones right there. This is good.
Mm.